Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
A few moments ago, we sang a song out of Numbers 6:24. And it tells us that the Lord's face wants to shine upon you. And it tells us that it's not only for us standing here today, but for our children and our children's children. Can we not just sing about it, but really let it come from our hearts and believe that even if we don't see our children being in the place that you would like to see them, that they will not remain there because God doesn't see them there. God is going to bless your family. God is going to bless your children and your grandchildren. And one day when we're gone, all their children will be blessed. Believe that. And so I speak that over you. Receive that. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Your children will be blessed by God. All the generations will be blessed by God because you walked in his blessing. And he's working, just as this song just said, he's working. And if you don't see them, you will. Believe that. Thank you.
You know, God is a great God. And he loves, he just wants everyone to know that he loves you. And he knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing you can do that would stop his love from giving to you. And King David knew that. And they said he took off his kingly robes. And some people say 38 miles he walked with the covenant of God. He knew he needed that covenant back to be blessed. And every six paces, so it'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he danced before the Lord. He did that for 38 miles. So I just encourage all of us to really worship the Lord with all of our heart. God says there's only two commandments: to love the Lord God with all your passion and all your heart, and to love others. That's all we have to do. So
Jesus was on this earth before he was born in a manger. That's right. He helped God create this.
Yeah, come on.
That was the only one that God could trust to help him to create it. Your pastor, Brother Henry, told me that y'all been studying on Jesus' time on earth after the manger. He was rebuked. The holy men of the time, the scribes and the Pharisees, stabbed at him verbally every chance they could. And they said, why is the word of God so hard to understand? And he said, in his answer to them, which was very intelligent, to know the Father, you must know his voice. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Good morning. This song is like I was in the dark before. I was like walking. I have so many things to say thank you to God, because in this church it has so wonderful memories, so wonderful things. because one person introduced me to Pastor Henry, and here we are. I met my husband about a month, and we came here. He proposed me, and we came and talked, and we got married here. Amen. And we got baptized. And I come from a very, very bad situation, broken family, and I grew up on myself pretty much. I was in foster home here and in the United States, and really, I always thought I had God in my heart. I wanted to follow Him, but I didn't know where to go or where directions. I knocked so many doors, like we said. I went shopping for church, like when you go to the mall and you look every window. I went and looked, but I still didn't. I wasn't ready until I came here. Something is about this building and this church, and it brought me closer. All of you, so wonderful. All of you, I want to say thank you for helping us for my wedding. And it was, I never thought I was going to get married in the church. I didn't think I deserve it, especially at my age. And God brought me this wonderful man, and he helped us to have a dream. And I feel like I'm living my life all over again. It's like a new person. And I want to say thank you to Jesus for allowing me to be here and have this wonderful man and call him my husband. It's amazing. It's the most amazing man that God have ever put me in my life, especially all my suffering behind. And thank you, all of you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says on Isaiah 49:16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands."
Yeah, come on.
"Thy walls are continually before me."
Yes.
And I praise God, you know, like on at home, you know, I wrote that scripture right here on the wall with my hands. And then somebody went out there and painted my kitchen, you know, and it came off. But the thing is, I'm going to put it back up there. Because you know why? Because we are important to God. He said, in another scripture, says that he has imprinted our names on his, you know, the palm of his hands. And, you know, and his words continually before him, you know, before us. And we know that, you know, God is good, and the thing is that, you know, we are important to him. You know, the Word of God says right there, you know, why did he imprint ourselves in his hands? You know, because he loved us. Because he loved us first, you know. He always been, the Word of God says, that, you know, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. On 17, it says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hear that one. But that's what he did. And I praise God for that. You know that, you know, he is a loving God, you know. And I saw a song right there where, you know, it brought that scripture where it says that that we are on his hands. You know, we always be in his hands. He said he will never leave us or forsake us. And we claim that. We can't feel low because we are. We are the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. And we claim it, you know, because he is a loving God, you know. And I enjoy, you know, being here with, you know, and, you know, worshiping God. I got out of ministry, you know, but right now, you know, nobody... No, they're not playing ball right now because of, you know, that plague, you know. But the thing is, now that I'm here, you know, worshiping God every Sunday, Not every Sunday, but every day. We have to do it every day. Take it home, you know. Walk around the streets, wherever we're at, you know. We have to worship Him and praise Him. You know, He fulfills our desires of our hearts. He is God. And we claim He's that Almighty God. Praise God. You know, I was listening to the testimony of the sister over there. You know, she feels like a, you know, she's blessed. Because of God, you know, God gave her a new husband. And praise God for that, you know, that she is blessed. And not just her, but everybody. We're here because we are blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm up here because Papa said I better come up, so.
I feel the weight.
I'm sorry, I feel the weight of the presence of God up here, and I feel uncommonly, what's the word?
Humble.
I just feel the weight. I feel the weight. My brother Reuben, man, when he began to speak about the goodness of God and he loves, I knew that God is saying something today about who He is. It's not just that He loves us, because He does. He is love. That's who He is. And what does that mean? Here's a scripture. Well, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to say a few things here. Romans 2:4 says, I'll read it in the Passion Translation. It says, Do the riches of His extraordinary kindness make you take Him for granted and despise Him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding He has been for you and to you? Don't mistake His tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of His extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? It's His kindness, not His wrath, not His anger, not His future, I'm gonna get you. It's His kindness. God is love, and it's His kindness that leads to repentance. And what is repentance? I know you've heard what that is, because I listen to what's going on Sunday mornings here. It's not just a change of direction, but a change of thinking. If you don't know you're going the wrong way, how can you change that direction? The word says to have the mind of Christ. What does that mean exactly? How do we allow our minds to be changed so that we have the mind of Christ? What does Christ think about? What does He think concerning the Father? How is Jesus loved by the Father? What does He think about that relationship from the beginning of time, as we know it, before time began? Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father always is one in this dance, in this common union of love. Everything you hear concerning the gospel, everything you hear concerning anything in your life, should be filtered through this one thing: God's love for you. He loves you the same way that He loves His Son. That is not blasphemous, that's the truth. And if you receive everything through that lens of truth, then the gospel will come alive, and you won't just come to church. And you've heard this too. You are the church. When you wake up, when you go, when you come, when you go to bed, when you sleep, when you're awake, when you're at work, at school, whatever it is you do, you are the bride of Christ. You are His beloved. You are His beloved. Everything that you do, you are loved by love. God is love and he loves you beyond what you... He didn't come to condemn the world, right? He came to seek and save that which was lost. That's why he came. To seek and save which lost. We're no longer lost. We've always been sons and daughters. We were lost, but now we're found. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Man, after Reuben read that, you know, that I was right there as reading. It's like, you know, I need to say this to some people. Because, you know, if we look at the world right now, it looks like a pretty messed up place. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are acting the way they should, right? I mean, we know that. That's just the world in general. It's the way it's been from the beginning when Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? They ate the fruit. But, you know, there's one thing that we need to remember, that Jesus didn't come to condemn. Because I was there and I was reading it was Romans 12:14. And it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And then Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yeah. You know, we have this thing in life where, you know, we want to see justice. Right? But, you know, because we are in the flesh, a lot of times if we're not grounded in the word, we don't know what the meaning of that is. And the thing that we need to do is we need to look at people as people that are not yet redeemed. You know, we've heard testimonies about how lives were before God. We wouldn't have testimonies if we didn't go out to those people who were in opposition to God and tell them about the gospel that is Jesus Christ, that he came and he died for our sins because he loved us, yeah, to redeem us. Come on. So when you find people out there that are in opposition to your views, make sure that you're treating them with love. Amen. You know, when the Pharisees asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And it just boiled down to, you know, love God with everything you have. And then the second one was like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. I just want you to remember that's where it stops. Love and love. Love God above all. Amen. And love people. It didn't say love your point of view. Come on, man. Love God, love people. Hallelujah. It is hard to do, but if you're walking and living by the Spirit, it is something you can absolutely do. So I just encourage you to have a soft heart towards people who maybe don't know God yet, but treat them like God wants you to treat them. And then there may be a day where they're standing in front of other people saying, because somebody showed me God's love, I now know him.
Come on, brother.
You know, I gotta come up here and talk about the greatest man in history. You see, this man, he had no servants, yet they called him master. No. He had no medicine to offer, yet they called him healer. He had no degrees, yet they call him teacher. You see, this man had no armies, yet kings feared him. Right? Right?
Right, right.
This man conquered the death. Death conquered the grave. And yet right now he stands on the right hand of the Father. Does he not?
Yes, he does.
If you can't get excited about that, I don't know what will. That got me excited. That gave me goosebumps when I heard that. Man. I was like, man, I gotta share this with the congregation. I gotta share these with my brothers and sisters. Cause that just opened my eyes.
Yes.
Man, wasn't that exciting? Pastor's gonna be jumping right now. Pastor, jump. Jump, boy. So I just had to share that with you guys, and you know, it blessed me. I hope it blesses you guys, and just, you know, keep that in mind.
They've been talking about love. They've been talking about his light, everything about him, the joy that we have because of him. I just want, the song said that he was a star. That star lives inside you. He's the light in the darkness. You are the light in the darkness. So you shine as well as anybody else because he lives in you. So that light that's in you, when you go out, know that you're shining because he lives in you. He's not out there saying, okay, you can do it. He loves you and he wants to be a part of everything that you do. And he wants you to say, when I walk in darkness, I am shining the light. I am the light because he lives in me. So be blessed with his light. Be the light in the darkness. You are a star.
All right. If everybody wants to stand again, we're going to go back into another song, the first song we did. And we're just gonna spend some time rejoicing. We heard a lot of stuff right now from a lot of different people, all talking about the victory we already have, the promises we already have, the love we already have, the things we already have been given. So why don't we just do some rejoicing for all of that stuff that God's already placed within our lives? It's something to get excited about. Amen. It's something that we can shout about. It's something that we can jump a little for. It's something that we can just get excited for, because he died on that cross for you, gave you the Holy Spirit, defeated death for you. He's already given you everything you need, so you have victory. So let's just rejoice in that victory today.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kind of lost my podium here. I said, man, bro. Hallelujah. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Rattling, a lot of dry bones rattling. Everybody go like that. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Come on, man. All right, bro. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, fellas. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, that's good. That'll work. Glory to God. How's everybody doing this morning? Hallelujah. Well, we've been on the road with Jesus to going to Jerusalem, where he's going to go to the cross. And so last week we talked a little bit about the triumphal entry. Amen. Hallelujah. How he went into Jerusalem. And this week we're going to be talking a little bit about the Last Supper. So you're going to be served, and people should be serving everybody this morning. How many of you like the Last Supper? How many enjoy communion? Hallelujah. Well, you know, I was raised as a young Catholic boy. How many say amen to that? I mean, when I was a young man, I guess fifth grade and up, I was in church every day. Amen. Amen. My mom got me and my little brother in touch with the priests, and man, we were altar boys. So we served on the altar, and every morning they'd come pick us up. I don't know. It seemed like me and my little brother were the only ones they had. I know whenever we had meetings, there was all sorts of altar boys in there. But we were there every morning. And one of the things, every morning we partook of the communion. Amen. Amen. And can I tell you something really honestly? You can do that so much it becomes almost like rote. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just what we do, and there's no really any heart thought about it. It's just mind thought. And so one of the things that really does worry me is, I shouldn't say worry, but one of the things I do pray about, I say, God, you know, all those folks that do that, because they'll go in, they'll take a communion and they think they're good for the rest of the week and go do whatever they want to do. And that's not what it's about. Amen. It is about a heart that's pulling on God, that's saying, God, I will love you, and I want to know more about you, and I want to see things, and I know that you can touch my family. I know that you can touch the world. I know you can touch my neighborhood. I know you, my city can be changed because of who you are. It's your intent. So today we're going to talk a little bit about communion. And one thing that, you know, how many of you know that you can ask God questions? Is that okay? Do you think God's okay with you saying, God, hey, I don't get this? Do you think he's okay with that? He's okay with it. As a matter of fact, I think he wants you to ask, because there's things in your heart that you just don't understand. Like Pastor says, there's a lot of gray area. Is that right, Pastor? There's a lot of gray area. And God is saying, no, man, I want to clear that gray area out of your life so you can see clearly of what I'm doing, what I'm trying to say to not only to you, but to those around you and the world around you. Amen? How many say amen to that? So you can ask God questions. And I know it was a couple of years ago that I was looking. I actually noticed that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about the communion, and there's a breaking of bread, and there is they all drink the cup. Amen? Does everybody have a thing? Okay. And they drink the cup. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the communion in that way. But I noticed that the Apostle John, when it talks about the Lord's Supper, doesn't even talk about the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine. Doesn't talk about it. And I thought, God, of all the ones, he should be the one that talks about it. So I said, Lord, why doesn't he talk about it? Why doesn't he put the emphasis like the other guys do? And like I say, it was a couple of years I asked this question. And last week when I was making that, when the Holy Spirit was helping me to make the message for last week, I was reading over Jesus going towards Jerusalem and got to the Last Supper, and I kept getting distracted by the Last Supper. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? If you're looking for something in the Word of God and God keeps distracting you, well, follow that distraction. If God's distraction is because he's trying to get you to look at something, is that okay? How many say amen to that? How many know that God knows what's going on in your life? He knows where your heart is. He knows what you're thinking, and he's desiring to show you and clear things up for you. So it's important that you sense those things within you. You say, okay, I'm going to go look at it. Well, I looked at it a little bit last week. I talked to Pastor John. I said, I really believe we're going to see. This is the end of the month. We do communion on the first of the month. Is that right? We do that every. And as a matter of fact, next week we'll probably do. What time does church start next week? Hey, thank you. 8 o'clock. I'm going to drill that in this one. 8 o'clock. Be here at 8. This is like Rosie and I. We'd gone to New Mexico. We were headed up towards, we thought we were going to go to Colorado Springs. Got as far as Uray, and we just loved it there, so we stay there. We stayed there in Uray. But we decided to go to church, and we were in Farmington. Got up, man, and got dressed and went to church. Opened the door, walked in. And I saw the guy at the door, the greeter, kind of gave me a funny look, handed me a bulletin. I went and sat down. As soon as we sat down, the pastor said, okay, everyone rise up. They all stood up, and then he gave a blessing, and then it was time to go. I forgot about the time change. And so I go, whoa. I said, hey, man, that was the fastest service I ever been in. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. But, you know, I don't even know why I said that. Just to let you know how dumb I am, I guess. I don't know. But praise God. God began to share with me something about the Word of God that I didn't see. Can I tell you something? There's things about God's Word that God wants you to see really what he's saying. How many say that? You know, we've been looking at scriptures and looking at scriptures. We're always looking at scriptures. How many say, man, you better be. Come on, man. Stay in the Word of God. But looking at scripture, we get to the point where we think we know everything that God's word is saying. Amen? We think we're familiar with that thing. And God is trying to get us to open up. So this morning, we want to take communion. And then I want to talk about communion. Is that okay? About what communion, I would say the truth about communion. How many say amen to that? How many want to know the truth about communion? I mean, can I tell you, I've always thought of communion in a certain way. But when God begins to expose things, you know, I'm going to say this morning, don't worry about it. If you don't get where I'm coming from, don't worry about it. But at least take some notes and go look. Because I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just trying to speak to you what God is speaking to my heart. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask Pastor John to come on up so we can do the communion together. and then I'll come back, and I will start this message, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Where's my wife? I like to take communion with my wife.
Hey, Pastor Henry said, you know, one of the least things we want you to do when we do communion is to think of it as just another thing we do on Sundays. And so rather than let it become a ritual, think of it more as renewing your commitment to Christ. Every day that whenever you take this is to know that you are renewing what you said yes to. And understanding is a word, you know, Jesus tells us that to do it in remembrance. This is to remember all that he did and what that cross meant. And he's the first time that Jesus did it with his disciples, it was just under a table and sharing and fellowship and with his most closest friends. And this was just part of what he had to tell them, is that remember what's happening here. Don't forget, because that's so important. There was eventually, I'm sure Pastor Henry will tell you about that. And there was, before I do that, Pastor Henry's saying, please stand. we need to remember that there was, as I said earlier, a man that obeyed his daddy. There was a man, the Son of God, the spotless lamb that would hang on a cross. And he wants you to never forget what he did for you.
Paul tells us that on the night he was betrayed, that he took bread and after giving thanks, he gave it to each of his disciples and he told them, "What are you going to do for me?"
And he told his disciples that this was his body, and to look at it as, when you think of his body, it was broken. It was torn up, and he did that for each of us today so that we would not be broken, that we could be whole. And so when you take this bread, realize that that is what you're doing. You're taking that body of Christ within you, which is already there, but have that understanding. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he told them to take the cup. And this was just his blood, the symbol of his blood that he would share. Every bit of who he was given for us to cover our sins, to cover our sicknesses. And that's something that we should always remember. So please take the cup. So please just remember the remembrance. And I'm going to ask Pastor Henry to come back up and complete it.
Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I was telling you, I was telling some of the folks this morning when the Lord showed me these scriptures, and when the Lord began to talk to me about communion, I had okay, all right. So I told Pastor we're going to do communion, and I told him I think we're going to do communion, because sometimes when I think we're going to do one way, that God will change it. He ends up giving me something different. But all week I was looking at this, and without reading 300 scriptures, how many of you want me to read 300 scriptures this morning? Without reading the whole account, I mean, I just had no idea. I said, God, I've got no idea how I'm going to do this. This is what you want, but I don't know how to deliver in a way where folks aren't sleeping or just say getting up and walking out. Praise God. How many of you do that before? No, I'm just kidding. But I said, so Lord, just, I don't know. And tried to get my message done before I went to the wedding yesterday. Rosie asked me on the way in, she goes, you get your message? I said, no, not a thing. I mean, I don't know. And when I got home, I was on the dining room table and kept falling asleep. I'm looking. And I kind of put my hand in my cheek, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? And next thing I know, I'm asleep. I wake up and I'm looking at the clock. I said, God, this isn't going to work. I keep falling asleep. You need to share with me. So I got up and got a cup of coffee, got my cup of coffee, and I sat down. And when I opened those scriptures, he said something to me. He says, you're trying too hard, Henry. You're trying too hard. Hear it. And I began to receive the scriptures. He began to give me the scriptures that for you this morning. I just want you to look at these things and consider what's being said this morning, because I think God wants to take you deeper into communion than you've ever been before. Amen. Say amen to that. He wants a communion that is a real, real communion. I mean, just not where you're just taking a piece of bread that is representing him dying on the cross, but the real communion that he's after with you. Is that okay? How many say amen to that? I'll tell you, that's what I'm after. I'm after that. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 26. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the gift, God, the gift of communion, the gift of being able to come and sit with you and talk with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 26, starting at verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. How many know where he was going? He went to pray. They went to pray. This was going to be the prayer right before the crucifixion. Now, you remember that Jesus, while he was praying, it was so intense that he sweat. His sweat had blood in it. How many of you remember that? Mark chapter 14, verses 20 through 26. What I'm showing you is what the scriptures say about what happened at the table. Mark 14, 20 through 26 says this, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Same thing, basically the same thing. They took bread and they drank from the cup. And yeah, I love the preacher that's right here behind Pastor John. At first, I thought it was Pastor John. Yeah. No, praise God. Hey, don't worry about it. That's fine. We love that. John chapter 20, Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. Write these scriptures down. Take a look at them if you would. Praise God. Yeah. Verse 19 says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. to do this in remembrance of me. I've always had a little trouble with that verse because I said, God, I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to say amen to that. How can I forget you? Can I tell you something? Humans have an incredible way of forgetting. How many say amen? They walk away and forget. But so he says this, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, when you get into the book of John, there is no reference of the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup of the blood of wine, which was representative of the blood of Christ. And when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't get it. Why didn't John record that part? Because there is a Last Supper in the book of John. In the Last Supper in the book of John, Jesus actually washes their feet. Is that right? You remember that? He washes their feet. Peter says, not me, Lord. He goes, you'll never wash my feet. And he says, hey, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part of me. How many of you know the feet are the part that touched the world? Is that right? It's very representative of things. Jesus went to wash their feet because he's going to say, I'm going to remove this piece of the world off of you so you can actually hear what I'm getting ready to say to you. This is the book of John. It's really a neat way. Because when I was asking the Lord, I said, God, I don't get it. Why didn't John record this? How many of you know that John, the Apostle John, the Bible says was the apostle that Jesus loved? How many Johns do we have in here? If you're a John, stand up. He loves these scriptures. Pastor John, he loves this, man. Hallelujah. But we're going to go through some scriptures. He just wants to look at this. If you will, go to John chapter 13, verse 23. Write that down. This is what the Word of God says. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Who do you think that was? John. This was John writing the book, the gospel according to John. It's kind of weird, huh? It's kind of weird. He loves me more than he loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves me more than you. Hallelujah. No, I just made that up. Yeah, okay. All right, whatever. John chapter 19, verse 26 says this. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Jesus is actually taking care of family matters and saying, hey, look, watch over mom. Jesus on the cross. Isn't that cool? Isn't that really cool? Jesus saying, man, just watch over mom for me, John. I love you. Praise God. John chapter 20, verse 2 says this. Then she runneth and comes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. For whatever reason, John just didn't want to put his name in there. But come on, man. We know who it is. You're not fooling us one bit, bro. It says, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre and we know not where they have laid him. And last of all, John 21, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea, and he went to go see with Jesus. So here we have these scriptures where John is saying, hey, I'm the one that Jesus loved. Isn't that cool? He's the one that Jesus loved. I said, well, what's up, John? If he loved you so much and you loved him so much, what the heck? How come you didn't even describe the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine? Come on, John. John, I think you kind of missed it. It's crazy. I'm going to take you to the book of John, chapter 6. And this is the chapter where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Remember that? With a few barley loaves and some few fish. And he feeds 5,000 people. Then he gets into his boat. Then he tells the disciples to go on over to Capernaum, which is on the other side of the sea there. And he says, and I'll meet you there. And he goes up and he prays. And then after when it's evening, he comes down. The boat's out there in the middle of the, and he comes walking on the waves. You guys remember the story? And he walks in, and you know, they're all afraid to go, man, what is it? Right? And Jesus says, it's me, don't be afraid. And he gets into the boat, and immediately the boat ends up in Capernaum. In the morning, when people get up, they're looking for Jesus, and they see that the boat is gone. And Jesus is gone. So they all go over there to Capernaum. And when they get there, they find the Lord and they say, Lord, how did you get here? When did you get here? How? And that's where we're going to take up the story here. This is John chapter 6. We're starting at verse 26 to 35. I'm going to read that. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. See, Jesus said, you're not looking for me. You're looking for another free meal. Amen? How many of you want a free meal? Yeah, there's a few hands. I like free meals. Hallelujah. My wife gives me a free meal every day. And he says, labor not for the meat which perishes, amen, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. Be very careful about what you hear in here. Listen to what he's saying. Labor not for the meat that perishes, right? But for the meat which endures to everlasting life, amen? All right? Which the Son of Man shall give you, for him has the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign do you show then, that we may see and believe thee? See, isn't that crazy? How many say, I won't, how many of you are people that say, I won't see it? I won't believe it till I see it. How many say that's the kind of person I am? Well, the government's going to give you a $900 check next week. Do you believe it? I'll believe it when I see it. Can I tell you that a lot of us here are sitting kind of that way and won't believe it till we see it? Amen. But Jesus is calling him on. Hey, man, you're going to have to believe me. How many of you want to believe God? Believing is a very, very important part of being who you are in Christ. Amen. Huh? They want to see a sign. Amen. Then we'll believe. Yeah, that's not good. What dost thou work? And then they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Here's Jesus' response to that statement, that the Father gave them bread to eat. Then said he unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Everybody say life. He gives what to the world? He gives life to the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Let's go to verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Can you blame them? He's just a guy. Is that right? The Jews are looking at him. He's telling them a little bit of their history. And he said, I'm the bread of life. That bread that Moses gave you, you can eat it and then die. But the bread that the Father sends, it's me. Can I get where they're coming from? They said, man, they murmured against him because he said, hey, I'm the bread of life. Huh. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother were? Now they start going into his history. We know his mom and his dad. We know what happened, how Joseph had to hide her. We know. Whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and had learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me has everlasting what? Everybody say life. What kind of life? What kind of life? Everlasting life. When you believe in Christ and what he's done for you, you have stepped into everlasting life. How many say amen to that? Some folks think you can only do that when you get to heaven. Well, what good is that? He's talking about right now, when you believe in Christ and you believe in God, right now you are in everlasting life. Is that right, Ron? Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Then Jesus says this, and I love this part. I'm that bread of life. Amen? He's the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? Dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and what? Not die. Do you see those words? Think about that tonight when you're going to bed. Hallelujah. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh. Everybody say his flesh. His flesh. He's going to give his flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Do you see that? This is a weird place, isn't it? They're looking at it, they go, did he just say what I heard him say? He's going to give us his flesh to eat. I want to tell you something. This freaked them out more than you know. A lot of people that followed him, saw his miracles, saw him doing, turning water into wine. A lot of people that followed him, it freaked them out too. They go, what? Watch what Jesus says to them. Whoso, and he says, strove among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Wow. It's getting pretty intense. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Come on. Man, I tell you what, these guys are going, what? And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Amen? Nobody said amen. Praise God. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I am. Is this freaking you out too? Come on, man. It's weird, isn't it? God, what are you saying? Jesus, what are you saying? He says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. So how long are you going to live if you eat this bread? Forever. Is that right? Still kind of weird, isn't it? These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The Bible says, the Bible tells us later on that many left him. They said, man, it's too much for me. I don't want to eat that guy. How many say amen? Hallelujah. You know that the Apostle John is the only one that recorded this? The other three gospel writers didn't record this conversation. Isn't that weird? You see, I believe that John had something different. How many say amen to that? Come on, say something different. It's something different. How many like something different? Hallelujah. Something different than what you ever had before. See, John had something different. I want you to look at John 14, verse 21 and verse 23. We're going to look at 21 first. Jesus says, this is Jesus talking. This is actually that night when they were in the upper room. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of who? My Father. And I will love him, and I will what? Manifest myself to him. Let's look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my what? Words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. I believe John had a little bit more closer connection than all the rest of the disciples. So when John was hearing the Holy Spirit speaking, John was hearing, when Jesus was speaking, John was recording things because he had a different understanding than some of these guys. I don't know that for sure, but I can see, because when I was looking, I had asked God, why didn't he record it? And the Lord said something to me. He did. He did record the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. I go, God, I don't see it. I don't see it. But you will see that after Judas left the room, when Jesus told him, go and do what you are going to do, the rest of the disciples thought he went to go pay a bill, or they didn't know what was going on, but Jesus sent him out. When he sent him out, Jesus began to speak. And what he began to tell was, talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about loving one another. He began to break bread with them. He began to open up who he was to them. Oh, he was breaking bread. He was breaking bread. Then you get to chapter 17 and you're going to see the wine of the covenant, because this is who they are. Well, I and me, God, me and you. Them and me, he began to open up the covenant of the God of, Abraham. Amen. His breaking of bread is the word of God. Folks, you got to get into his word. You got to let him speak his word into you. It will bring a wine that is like nothing else. It will bring a joy. How, you know what wine's for? Give you a little joy. How many drink wine? You don't have to raise your hand. Pastor John.
Keep your hand down, bro.
No, it's okay. But can I just say this to you? If you're drinking a lot, if the Holy Spirit tells you to quit, you quit. Amen? Do what the Holy Spirit says to you. It's okay. You can have a glass of wine. You're going to freak out when I say stuff. Like, you can have a glass of beer. But if God tells, because I'm not going to tell you not to have a glass of beer. I don't think that's my place. I'm not the Holy Ghost. Amen? Come on, man. We have to have a relationship with God that is real. And that reality comes through the Word of God. That's the only place it's going to come. It's breaking bread. Jesus broke bread. John spoke of it. So now when you go home tonight, just take a look. From when Judas leaves the room, watch what Jesus does. He begins to open the word. And he tells us the same thing, consume my word. How many of you want to be a consumer? Consume his word. Look at it daily. Go after his word. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to that scripture where it says 14, John 14, 21 and 23. Could you stand? Hallelujah. I hope this will give you a little bit different look of what communion is about. The cup and the bread that we take is a representative of what Jesus done. And oh yeah, he died for you. By his stripes, you've been healed. You are above and not beneath. You are a king. You are a priest. Hallelujah. That's what he did for you. But just taking the bread and drinking the cup and not going to his word will not transform your heart the way God wants it transformed. You've got to get into the word of God. Here it is again. He that has my commandments and keeps them. He it is that loves me. See, God knows whether you love him or not. You can't hide. I used to have a friend tell me, hey, you can run, but you can't hide. My brother introduced him to me. He was a barber down in Tucson. When he stuck out his hand, this is what he said. You can run, but you can't hide. I go, what kind of greeting is that? It's truth. Amen? Isn't it truth? You can run, but you can't hide. See, God knows whether you love him or not. How many know that? You love him. He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. See, God wants to show you all the things that he's got for you personally. He wants to open these things up to you. But you got to go after him. You got to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Amen, brother? Is that right? Oh, my goodness. And he says this in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me and will keep my words, my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our, I mean, like abode. How many of you like just sitting down with your family? Y'all loving each other, man. This is a nice place to be. Amen. This is a nice abode. Hallelujah. Jesus says, we will make our abode with you. Isn't that nice? Praise God. So I'm going to pray that God, how many say amen? How many see? I mean, hey, I'm not trying to transform your thinking, but can you see how it's deeper than what communion, what we really thought communion was? It's deeper. It is Jesus saying, consume the word. Because, you know, isn't it John, the writer of the Gospel of John, that said, in the beginning was the word. And I think it's verse 16 or 14 says this. And the word became what? Flesh. Jesus said, you got to eat my flesh. Is that right? Oh, let me show you one more scripture. Oh, man. Hallelujah. I think I gave it to you. I think it's 663. Is that? Do you have that? Oh, look at this scripture. Because when he's talking, all those people left. And then Jesus says this to his disciples. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. You get that? Do you see that? It's the spirit. Jesus was talking about eating my flesh, drinking my blood, but he's saying this. See, guys, it's spiritual. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and their life. Isn't that good? Do you understand? See, God, I believe God is opening the understanding of his people. Because, folks, we got a big job ahead of us. There are people coming into the kingdom. You watch what happens. They're coming in, and they're going to need men and women of God that know what they're talking about. And how are you going to know what you're talking about? You got your connection with God, not with some other guy, not Pastor Henry said this. You're going to say, no, man, this is what the word of God says. Amen? Praise God, man. Hallelujah. So let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for your word. God, I pray, God, that you will, by your spirit, God, Lord, begin to open the things up that you have for each and every heart. Each and every heart, Lord. Open them up, Lord. Father God, fill them with your word. Fill them with strength. Fill them, God. Fill them with your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. And give God a clap offering. Amen. Do a little jump. Do a little, yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Let's sing.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.